I actually have a choice now of two inyonim. Well, two means maybe 20 inyonim, but there were two on the agenda. And one I've spoken about in this yeshiva years ago. Which would be more benefit to you? Who knows? If you look into the Poskim, they all say that Chodesh Elul is a very special Chodesh, more important than all other Chodoshim of the year for our Ruchniyistik activities. Torah, Mitzvahs, Tshuva, Tefillah, Maasim Tovim, and the 30 days of Elul combined with Aseret Yemei Tshuva for a 40-day period in which Klal Yisrael from day to day heighten their Avodah Ruchnis. Baruch Hashem, you're young. You have many years to live. But because of your youth, you've probably never really seen what Chodesh Elul looked like. A few generations back, in the yeshiva world in particular, and Klal Yisrael in general, I had a very special privilege. I'm an American. I've only seen American yeshivas in my youth till going to Eretz Yisrael. However, when I graduated high school, that was the end of the Second World War. So a complete yeshiva, Yeshiva Smir, came from Shanghai, China, where they had escaped to in the Second World War, saved by literally miracles. The whole yeshiva came to America. They came by ship to San Francisco. From there they went by train to Chicago, spent a few days there, and then came to the east to New York. And they were given temporary quarters, two huge buildings of shuls, one next to another, in the poorest section of Brooklyn, New York. Two empty shuls. And they established themselves there temporarily. After close to 3 years, they moved to a different section of Brooklyn, and eventually they built their own buildings there. This isn't the mic. This is only feeding the tape. Or
no,
it is
a mic.
It's a mic, yeah.
It's not working.
No, no, it's a mic. That's the Neig Shmira Saloshin one. It's a distraction. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's a competitor. You say one word and it shouts two back at you. When they were in New York initially, the first year, they were very hesitant to accept American Bocharim because, on the average, in the mirror, since they had spent so many years in Shanghai in the Second World War, none of them got married, you know. So the average, they were either already learning 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or more. These people were Bekim B'Shas, they knew every Rishon on the Sugya, every Achron. It's unbelievable, the ideas that they had. And we're American Bochum just graduated high school, so we learned Gemara by Gutta Rabbeim in the mornings, you know. But they looked upon us, you want to hear the description? Kindergarten children. They didn't want to take us in. But my Rebbe in the last year in high school, in his early years, he learned in the mir in Europe. So he had some pull, and he got his nephew and me and the third bocher from our class were accepted. Rabbi Ruchem Gerelik. And he could go through a wall, so he can go through the mir easily. And he got us in, and then from Chaim Berlin, there were a few who had enough of that yeshiva, so they begged to be accepted. And among them, some very, very brilliant, it was a Gershon Wiesenfeld, Mamash, Eloi, awesome, came from Dallas, Texas, had never learned before in his life. Comes to New York, opens up a Gemara. On the third day, he's learning a Rashba with a Gemara, and he knew exactly what was going on. And Rabbi Yisrael Elia Weintraub came, today one of the Gedolim, Boki Bishas, and Kabbalah, and everything. And still, they didn't want to take all of these people in, but they were forced to. And we were privileged to see a Chodesh Elul in that type of a yeshiva, which I will not describe to you because you're not going to believe it. But I can only say that, generally speaking, every bacha went into the highest gear possible of Eisek HaTorah, the Asmode, the Yigiyah, Tefillah from day to day was becoming stronger, and the Limud HaMusa, the half hour before Ma'ariv, that was bidmois, the tears should scream, literally come down their cheeks. And these are people, Ga'inai Olam. From day to day, Elul was becoming more and more and more and more. See, you people have never seen this in your life. Not even only you. There are 20-year-olds. There are 30-year-olds in America. They've never seen it. About 57 years ago, I was in Lakewood. That year there was a Meir Dika Elul. Well, Rabban was, the Rashiva was Mechazikit, was Abnasim Vachtvayuvi. But it was very special, and they said it's not usual there in Lakewood that way. Rosh Hashanah was out of this world, the davening. One couldn't believe it. Aseret Yemei Tshuva, people walked around like malochim. They're not here. Yom Kippur, I have no words for it. You have no idea when. You see, I was a newcomer there, and I'm standing there, Rosh Hashanah, and the first Bolchu, so they shouted, you know, Bolch Hashem Amvayo. What should I describe it for, Havdol? Somebody hits a home run with the bases loaded. Can you imagine? In the World Series. The bottom of the ninth inning. Imagine what it sounds like? Yeah. It's a marshal to what that Bolchu was. And I got scared. I never heard such a davening in my life. And I was very, very sensitive about my self-respect, my covered. See, now I made a decision on the spot. I'm going to daven very low the whole time. You know why? These people are shouting, they're screaming. And one of them behind me was saying before every word, oi. Yeah. Baruch oi. Ator oi. Hashem oi. What kind of oi? Can you imagine a person being the person when he's in his late 20s, afterwards he became a dayan in one of the Bote Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. You're dealing, and every word, oi, 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 oi. I looked back a few times to see him. I was, you didn't see a human being there. This is what the yeshiva looked like. And I'm quiet the whole time. Why? What happens if they go quiet? somewhere, and I'm going to be shouting. So everyone, you hear my kavodik kecheshm that I made there? So the whole time I'm quiet. Eventually, you know, I was accepted into the yeshiva, and a few months later in the winter, with a moedik kasha I had in the Gemara, we had a few hundred rebbeim. Everyone, we walk around in the middle of learning talk to Rab Nochem Petzovich, Rab Shmuel Birnbaum, there was Rab Nochem Lesman, you know, one of the Bor Chosenberg, Rav Reuven Fein. I'd go with the same kasha, I would go with my chabrut, and each one would give us other rishayim and other. In 1 year, I got yediyas, which a Greiser Rav verheld me at the end of the year, big lamden. He asked my father, how many years is he in the mir? So he said, well, he's one's man, he's beginning the other's man. It can't be, he says. Wherever I tap him on, here in Shas, he seems to know everything. This is what you were able to get. Now, I decided to go over to the number one in the yeshiva, Rav Shmuel Chalke, v'zichrono livracha. These are people, Shas on their fingertips. They were famous in Europe yet in the yeshiva world. His brother married the daughter of the Radin Rosh Yeshiva, v'zichrono livracha. So I go over to him with a gemara, a big gemara, you know, and I have a kasha here and this. So he looks at me there, Banovo Gemura, you know, he's holding that Gemara in his hand. And he said, oh, no, no. Here there's a Taisvis. He's looking there, he says, here there's a Taisvis. Oh. Here there's another Taisvis. And here there's another one. You look in these three Taisvis and you'll understand this Taisvis here. This is you're dealing with. He could shut his eyes. I'm not being magzim. I'm telling you what it looks like. I remember one Reb Lezer Hodzeisky, also from that chabur of Reb Shmuel Beis Tama. He had a moira de kepshat in the Gemara, a very very strong kasha, and he went over to Reb Shmuel. You know they were like chaverim. And Rav Shmuel took apart his whole pshat in 2 minutes, and with a pashtus, he learned pshat in the Gemara. So Rav Lezer said, Rav Shmuel, zinisht oisalten von euch. I can't live with you in one word. He said, you took my whole thing, and nothing was left of it. And with such a pashtus, you were able to learn here. And the whole yeshiva heard him shouting like this. So, Lemaisa, when Shmuel answered me, and this, and then he looks at me and he says, in his Russian Yiddish, Yer seid gewendo Rosh Hashanah, you were here Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippurim, yeah. Where were you standing by the davening? I said it was in that side of the base. I understand the middle. Hier sei der Stillinker, was ist gestanden hinter mir, der ganze Dam. You were the silent one. See, I was one silent one in the whole place, and I was in the back of him, you say. And he wasn't screaming, God. He was too old for that already. But he knew that there's no noise coming from the back there. You understand? But what should I say to you? The second Elul, I came a few days late. I was going through a battle with my uncles and my this and that. They wanted me to go to college. Who didn't go to college, that was in America? You know, a policeman in New York had to have a B.A. college degree to be accepted in the police force. Everyone went to college, unless you were a mamish abur. So my uncles are looking, our nephew's not going to go. You know, either a lawyer, a doctor, that can't be like this. And I was battling the whole summer I had with this. and they, my mother was on their side. My father wanted me to sit and learn. I had 2 months in New Hampshire, yoimom v'layla, mamish, battling away with long-distance telephone calls. In the end, I had a valdikines, my mother's uncle. She looked upon him like he'd be her father. He wrote her a letter that day. Your son, I've never met such a personality in my life. My dear niece, let him sit and learn for as many years as he wants. My mother was a type of, she's a European, kibbutz, an uncle was her father, Olva Shalom's brother. She got that letter. Vos heist anes, this was. And so I come a few days late in Elul. A few days late in Elul. What should I say to you? It's like a person who missed the boat to Gan Eden and landed up in Gehenna. You understand? Just missed the boat. They looked upon you. You weren't a Jew. You understand? So I walk in timidly to the yeshiva. The door was in the back there. And here the whole yeshiva is sitting and learning. And the Mizrach is sitting, the Mashgiach, Chatzko Levenstein, who Malochim would come and ask him for a brocha, they should be a Malach like him. He was a Kodesh Mamash, sitting and learning with Chabrusa, Ablebel Vishnevsky, I remember. They're up in the Mizrach. And I come in through the back, and there was a young Mashgiach, you know, assistant to Rav Chatzko, Rav Yanka Finkelstein. He's sitting in the back row. That was his way. And he's looking at the Olam. Now, he wasn't assistant Mashgiach. He was dealing with the Americans. And he could deal with the Americans. You know why? He had bigger muscles than us. So, the Americans, And so I walk in, and I'm looking in the last row, you know, and I see him. He sees me, he gets up and he rushes over to me, grabs me with his hand, and schleps me onto the bench with him. And he said, sit down. Yeah. What's the story? So I told him the story. I had the battles and this and that. Bo Hashem, I'm back. You're back? Shalom Aleichem to Mashgiach. I'm telling you this story graphically. You should be able a little bit to understand what Elul was. So I say, Mashgiach is sitting all the way up front. Gates noktam shalom aleichem, he says to me. Now, no one heard this. You know why? The learning there was out of this world. Everyone was shouting at his chavusa, b'koylei koylesh, you know, you have no idea what this Ella looked like. So there was so much noise, Baruch Hashem, it's like a band at a chasana today where you can't give shalom aleichem to the next one. The Chafetz Chaim arranged these bands. You know what? No one talks today. Lashon Hara at Chasanis. There's no one to hear it. Yeah, it's going to bring the Geula if we're not deaf by now. Anyway, so he's shouting at me, I should go. And I want to tell you, I saw the backs of everyone, right? I'm in the back. I know. It's everyone. It was such a pitch. Such a fire, such Islamos. You couldn't walk down the aisle. I'm telling you, you couldn't do it. And so I stood there. He said, Yadav Tav Mashtup, you need somebody to push you. He says to me. I said, no. He grabs me from the back and he gives me bus eight a push. 3 or 4 rows I flew there as I am. And people a little bit, they looked out of their gemaras to see this stupid American just going up, you understand? And what did they care? American more, American less. Like in Afghanistan. So 3 soldiers are gone. And I start to walk. I couldn't walk. Around me, the fire, you have Velt London with Yerushalayim, scream, and everyone is screaming like this. I couldn't do it. And I, the mashgiach, you know, sitting, he saw me, the mashgiach, and I makes him full. But sitting on his chavusa, I mean, I have to be on the floor for him, him to see me. But, and slowly, I'm walking. I remember I said to myself, if I ever survive here and I have einiklach, I hope to live to tell him the story. I said this to myself. It was a very traumatic thing for me. And eventually I get to the mashgiach. The mashgiach is sitting with his chavrusa, with the standards. I'm standing right here. He doesn't recognize my existence. Doesn't look up. Doesn't give me shalom aleichem. I'm not there. I look back a minute at the oilam. Now I see the faces of the whole yeshiva. So, give me a shovel, I'll dig a hole and I'll sink in. One more time in my life I had such a... When I had to meet the Briska Rav for the first time in my life. Don't ask what I went through there. I wanted to sink in. Yeah. And here I'm standing there. What's going to be the end? I'm standing there. Mashgiach, you know, you came late in Elul, and you know, you expect you right away, you welcome you. You're going to wait, schwitz a little bit there, you know, get scared a little bit, paper. Then slowly picks up his head. Doesn't give me shalom aleichem. Well, it's Elul, he doesn't talk in Elul, only Torah, Tefillah. No, in Yiddish. You know. Looking up at me. Take a breath. I say, I had a very big mulchama with the mishpacha. They wanted me to leave yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I'm back in yeshiva. He hears the word, I'm back in yeshiva. He springs up like you'd be a 3-year-old, you hear? Sticks his hand out. I give him my hand. He grabs my hand and says, and I have a little hand, you see. The Chazanish was a little person, but he had normal hands. First time I saw the Chazanish, when I left, he gave me a hand, and his hand wrapped around my hand. So he was hard of seeing, so he took my hand to the eyes. These are hands? Yeshiva Bacha. I said to him, he's like, Yeshiva Bacha. The Mashgiach grabbed my hand there. I'm standing there, shaking isn't the word. And he's also standing. And he says, listen here. You're back. In the future, if you argue with your relatives or whoever it is, and you insist on going to this yeshiva and not others, don't you dare say to them you chose this yeshiva because there's more Yirah Shemaim, Torah Lishmo, and all of this type of talk. The Chafetz Chaim used to say that you talk to a person the language that they understand. And the language of this generation is 99% Sheker and 1% Emes. So you know what you're going to say to your family? That if you go to that yeshiva again, and you become a rav, you'll get a little job with a little salary. Mir yeshiva, you're going to have a bigger smicha, you're going to have a bigger job and a bigger salary. You hear? That's what you're going to say to them. I'm not going to argue with them. I'm the big idealist. I'm going to talk about money to my family. The whole time I'm understanding. He says to me, and now, sitz the lount, gives me a push away and cut it out, and then I had to walk down the aisle facing the whole yeshiva. Now there, this is not. I'm sure I'll never go to Gehenim because I've had it already. You don't have it twice, and everyone's looking and they're pointing. Americano has come back. Yeah. You have this, and I didn't know what to do. So at the end. The little mashgiach grabs me, says, here's a gemara, sit down. What did mashgiach say? He told me to sit down and learn. Yeah, that I'm also telling you to sit down and learn. And no talk. nothing about anything. It's Elul now. We have no drawn betalim in this yeshiva. Not in the Beis Medrash, not in the lunchroom, and not in the street. You hear the law? I say, and it was the law. I can tell you, with our chaverim, well, America, nobody spoke a word of drawn betalim, the whole Elul, and the whole Aseret Yemei Tshuva. You believe it? So don't believe. It's not from the Yud Gimel Ani Maimons, but it's the truth. One bacha once made a shtikla leitzon. It's an Elul. We stood there and we looked upon him that he's off his mind in Elul before the Yom Adin. You can't imagine what it looked like. Now, that was an experience to have to go down that line and go back to life. I have no idea. And now the Mashgiach, you know, he didn't talk in Elul. But he has to talk to me. So he said exactly what he wanted and gave me a push. Go sit down and learn. Don't start thinking about it. You went through a whole Mulcham and all of this. A group of American Bachrim once came to Europe, to Raden, to the Rashevis, to Chavetz Chaim's yeshiva. And they came into the Chafetz Chaim's house, and they were so sure Chafetz Chaim was going to, ooh, Americans coming to yeshiva here. Oh, oy, what a madrege you are. You know what Chafetz Chaim said to them? Like the Mashgiach was dealing with me. He said, you've come a very, very long distance. You know, all the way from America. And they said, they're proudly, yes, yes. He said, you know, your neshamas, to come down to your guf, came a much longer distance. You know that? And they stood there bewildered. Yeah, but what does he want from us? And why did your neshamas come down such a long distance? You know why? You should sit and learn Torah. So go right into the Beis Medrash, sit down and learn. Finished. You hear that? He brushed them off, took the wind out of them, and that's what he did. So, what I wanted to tell you is like this. The Sfor Magdashim teach us, every Yontif, Sheyesh Lem LeYisroel, the Al Pisod, there is a very basic reason for every Yontif. That L'mashal Yitzias Mitzrayim took place thousands of years ago, but every year this Gvaldik Ma'is Hashem Yisborach Bashamayim, the Shoyrash of that Inyan repeats itself, and from the Shamayim comes down a Shefa of Ruchnius pertaining to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that the Yidden can be Makabel the Shefa, talks about the Moshe Chaim Lutzaton, talks about it, and the Yalki, the SMS, and to accept it, the Eibishter gave a Yontif, where you do Maisim Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, many mitzvahs, and so you can be Makabel the Shefa of Yetzias Mitzrayim every year. The same thing is on Shavuos with Matan Torah, and that's why one of the zachen we do is we're up a whole night learning. We should be mekabel the shefa of Matan Torah, and then you have the Nisei Hamidbar, the Anone HaKovid on Sukkot, so we actually sit in Sukkot to be mekabel it. And I'm not talking about Purim, why we're drunk. If you're not drunk, you can probably be mekabel the shefa. And on Chanukah, if you're not into dreidel, you can also be mekabel. Now, we find, I'm not saying that it's visible today, but in the poskim, in my sefer for Elul, I use a certain trick here. I didn't quote one sefer yiro, a Musa sefer. Why? People say he's building Elul from the Musa's room. I'm not into Musa. That's too much for me. I'm not into that. So what did I do? I only quote Paskim here, who talk about our Balei Halacha. We trust them in all Halachas, and they're talking about Elul. So Elul is an entity where they say you have to be the highest Abayda of the year, and that's the Achonet to Rosh Hashanah, and that's how you Zoyche Taksi, the Sima Taivu, Elul, and Elul. Even in the Maril, what it says, he quotes another sefer. Maril is the Godel Paskim Sheba Ashkenaz, Roiv Ramor, and Shulchan is based on the Maril. And the Maril, every Rosh Chodesh Elul used to darshan. Niru lochem nir val tizru el hakoitzim, which means you can have the best seeds in the world and you want to plant them in the earth. If you don't weed the earth before that, get rid of all the weeds and soften it up, the earth will not accept these seeds and the birds will just carry them away or the wind. So the Novi says in Yeshaya, weed out your field beforehand and don't sow these seeds on thorns and bushes. So you know what the Maril used to say? You want to be Zoyche to a Zriya Toivo B'Rosh Hashanah? The whole Elul, you have to weed out all of your Midas Rois and Maisim, which are no good. Every day in Elul, come on, take out more and more and more. So you come into Rosh Hashanah, Oir Zoru Al Atzadik, the Eibishter can sow here the Shona Toivo. He brings one of the Maril quotes, one of the Sforim, that every day in Elul, before you go outside, you have to be Mefashvish Maitav to protect you from. You know the Briska Rav Zechayna Levorcha, the last years of his life in Yerushalayim, he had to walk every day a certain amount of time. And it had to do with the weight of his body because he had an internal illness. And every day he weighed himself on a scale in the drugstore of a Hamish on his route. If one day he couldn't go out, and the next day he weighed himself, he already gained weight. So he had to walk. And where is he walking? In Yerushalayim, Ir HaKadosh. What terrible things he's going to see there. Every day he learned a whole Perek Mesilas Yeshurim before he walked out. Rab Rafoil, his son, told it to him, Mechaber of a Sefer. And so, how many Prokim there are, he was able to learn the Sefer. And this younger man who's talking to his son said, so today he was Messiah Mesilas Yeshurim. I'll be back tomorrow to know what he's learning now. So he comes back and he says, no, what's the Briska Rav learning now? He's making Chazorah and Mesilas Yeshurim. He's going through the whole Sefer again. You see, we don't need that when we go out in the street in L.A. Nah, nothing's going to harm us. Only the Briska Rav going Yerushalayim in the street, he needed it. So the Maril said, every day in Chodesh Elul, you have to sit down, be mefashbesh b'maisav, and do tshuva, then you can go out. And every time you sit down to eat, you know, and gashmius can corrupt you, before the meal you have, again in Elul, you have to be mefashbesh b'maisav. And these are poskim. I once told this to the Alter Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, years ago. He said, who's the Maril? I need this. I need this material. This was Elul by them. So I say like this. If it would be like this today, so my question would be, why are we in such a gvaldik chizuk this whole month? Everything that we see today in Yiddishkeit stems from things in the ancient times, in the Doiros HaRishonim. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim. But where's Elul? You see Elul in the Torah? What's special about it? What gave us the basis of this chizuk? Now, I want you all to know the following. This is like in 1.5 sentences, I'm saying this to you. This is an inyan godel, which would take hours to really sink in. What is chizuk? What do you need chizuk for? Everyone talks. It's a beferush gemara in brachas taflamid beis. Our board tzrichim chizuk. Torah and tefillah, masim tovim, v'derech eretz. No, zokt Rashi chizuk tomid ubechol koichai, which means every time you sit to learn Torah, you have to do it with all your might. Every time you're davening, you have to try your best to concentrate. I'm not saying you succeed in it, but you have to make all the efforts that you can. Every time you're doing a mitzvah, you have to put everything into it. So there is a Gemara that darshins a pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara is in 9th Perek Brachos. Hisrapiso, that's a Loshen Rifyain. So there's a Malshur. Loi shaloi lomat Torah v'loi kiyay mitzvahs. But there's a Gemara aboim tzrichim chizuk, it has to be b'chol kaychai, and he was learning Torah not b'chol kaychai, b'rifyayin. You know, like some people learn ben azmanim, you know, in the vacation time, they do you a favor, they're learning a little bit, which is very good. There are people who don't do the favor and they don't learn at all. So it's yeah, you learned Berifyon, you did mitzvahs not with the full concentration. When you're going to face a very difficult situation, you are not going to have the koyach to face up to it, because your learning or your mitzvahs was not b'chizuk. Why do we need chizuk? So the Vilna Goyen on that Gemara in Brochais in the Ksovim Nistorim says, Tzal Koichacho, what does Koichacho mean? Your power will be insufficient in a Tzorah? Koichacho means your neshoma, azevi estate in the Zoya HaKodesh. And my job in most Sforim of the Goyen is to find where it says it. And sometimes you find it, and sometimes you don't find it. There's one thing I'm looking for the past 47 years. I cannot find it. And one big shot in Eretz Yisrael who has connections with the library there, with the bibliographers, and I once mentioned him, oh, he said, give me an hour, I'll have the source for you. I have a person, there's nothing he doesn't know the source. I said, okay, I'll tell you. The Goyen says this and this, and he's quoting a medrash, and there we don't find that medrash. Okay, just give me the detail. All right. Shalom lehitra'ot, zakta. Well, yeah, well, we meet again, yeah. In his dreams, we'll meet again. Yeah. He never called me back. You know. It's already 7 years I'm waiting for that. Yeah. He'll find it. He'll find it. So I found the Zohar. The Zohar says that if you hisrapiso in Torah and mitzvahs, you'll come to a problem, your neshoma will not stick up for you. Neshoma is supposed to be melech tov and helping you out. Neshoma will not stick up for you. How do we learn pshat in that? I'm giving you a very simple way. A human being consists of a guf and a neshoma. The guf has animal instincts and ways and taiva, plus the yetzara. The neshoma is pure spiritual, ruchnius, chelek alekamimal. The guf is pulling a person the whole life in the direction of eating, drinking, and gnashing and all the taivas, and the neshoma is pulling the opposite direction. Sefer Mitzvot Godel says in Nagdama L'Mitzvot Haseh that the whole life of the person, he's in a Melchoma Pnimis. The Guf and the Shoma, like a tug of war, each way, go back and forth. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about this, but L'maisa. What does the Eibishter want a person to do in Torah mitzvahs in his lifetime? What's the project of the human being in this world? To see to it that the neshama is the balabas over the person and not the guf. This was the failing of all Umay Sa'olam. They're offered the Torah by their creator Hashem Yisborach, who has just performed in front of their eyes countless miracles, Yetzias Mitzrayim, disproving Avodah Zarah completely, proving Hashem Elokim Levadai. At that opportune moment, he approaches the Goyim. You have a history of Avodah Zarah, 2,000 years. Also, did I just disprove Avodah Zarah? Yes, unfortunately. Did I prove Ani Levadi, who Elokim, the only true power in the universe? Yes. Let us go. Now, just a minute. One third question. You say I'm the truth. Avodah Zarah is a sheker. Don't rub it in, Rabbi Nishalayim. Don't rub it in. Yeah. Accept my Torah, which is Torah's Emes. And the Torah will tell you what to do and what not to do every 5 minutes of your life here. And then it'll grant you eternal life in Olam Haba. Nothing could be better. No, accept it. Just a minute. We have a certain outlook on life. You know, by us, you know, Gashmias is very important, you know. Having a good time and vacations and fun and going to Disney World, Disneyland, and going Disney and everything. This is all our life. And you know, my wife, she wants to have a new carpet, the best Persian carpet. Do you know what I do? I go to a store and I say, what's the best Persian carpet? Mr. Request, $25,000. Okay. Put my name on a tag on and I'm going to the bank. You know, in Harlem, in New York, one of me is going to the bank. Dietz Schwarzes. Yeah, but he goes to the bank, stands in line. When it's his turn, take kind of gun. You give me $25,000, I blow your brains out. And he has it. That's called going to the bank by them. And I get the carpet. Rabbi Shalom, will your Torah somewhat curb my activities? David said, you're Leisignaiv. Nah, what am I going to do with Shalom Bayis? Leisignaiv. How will I satisfy you? And they walked away. Can you hear this? You know what they said? They won't be able to do this. Why? Their goof dictates what to do in life. And they can't stand up to the goof. This was the failing of the Goyim. You have 1 billion Chinese and 1 billion people in India, Dot Nazay, idol worshippers, and you have the African continent, those who didn't die yet there from AIDS, and whatever it is, and Germany and France and South America, you have all of these, it's all goof. What did the Eibishter want from us? Neshama. So the Eibishter wanted like this. There are two ways to do a mitzvah. You can do it, you know, yeah, you're used to doing it. Your father did it. Your grandfather did it. You'll teach it to your son to do it. But do you give thought to the mitzvah? No. So you know what it is? A maisa guf ba'almo. It's called mitzvahs anoshim mulumoda. Force of habit. And what? So what is force of habit? You're not allowing the neshama to do the mitzvah. You take the neshama. You shut off and I'm doing it goof. You know what chizuk is? When the person grabs hold of his goof, yeah, he says, goof, you keep quiet. I'm doing rotzon Hashem now. And you let the neshama take hold. That's only if you do it b'chol kaychai. Chol kaychai is taking your goof in hand and allowing the neshama to come through. And that's a limud Torah and a maisa mitzvah, maisa neshama. So the pasuk says, "Hisrapiso, you didn't do your mitzvahs or learn Torah b'chizuk, so it was a maisa guf, and you didn't let the kayach neshama come through. B'yom tzora, and you're going to want your neshama to appeal on your behalf." Someone's going to say, when you do mitzvahs, you don't let me come into the picture. When you have a tzara, you want me, I'm not on your side. This is the Zayah. The Neshama is not going to help you because you never let him do anything. You're living Guf Ba'alma. These are Goyim is Guf Ba'alma. That's why they didn't accept the Torah. Torah and Mitzvahs are the Klei Melacha of the Neshama to tame and train the Guf to do what's right. Al Tzvot and Hashem. I want you all to know this. Now, my Rabbi Rabbi say, according to the Paskim, Elul, that's made true, Kulay Chizuk, which means the Neshama is coming through here. Where does it stem from? We don't see it in the Torah. We do see it. What we learn is the following. Klal Yisrael Mekabel the Torah and Vav Sivan. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, the day afterwards, goes up to receive the Luchais Rishonais, with the Luchais Mais Elokim, HaMichtav, Michtav Elokim, and to learn Kol HaToyro Kulo Mipivyas Borach, to teach it to Klal Yisroel. And the Luchais have to come down as well. There are two in Yonim. I learned this from the Vilna Goyin in various places. Number one, the Goyin says, when a Chosn is Mekadesh, the Kala, he takes a ring which belongs to him. The Masada Kedushin asks, is it yours? He says, in the chosn, do you own it? Yeah. Right. Yes. Okay. Say to her, Harei at Mekudeshet li, B'taba Azuk Adasmai Shev Yisrael. And he gives her the ring and she's kinder. So Dr. Goyin, what happened here? What happened here is the following. Can a person getting tired of parts of his body say to his hand, get out, I don't want to anymore? No, it's part of you. You can't throw me away. This ring belonged to the chosn. Yeah, it was part of him. And he gave it to the kala. She now has in her hands part of the chosn. Yeah, this is going in Sefer Yetzirah. Now, he doesn't like her one day. Can he say to her, get out of my house? No. Can you give her a get? A get is a whole mesechta with a whole process. But stam, chase her out? Never. Because she'll say to him, you can chase your nose away from you? No. You can't chase me either because I have a piece of you. Yeah. So Dr. Goyin, if we receive the luchait, which are mais elakim and mechtav elakim, we've received a piece of Hashem Yisborach. It's a miracle of shyness here. Is le'olam void, the Eivishah can never send us away. And then there's a second thing here. The luchais in the icy ice embody kol ha'toyro kulo. If we get that into our hands, le'tishochacho edus le'olam void, Torah will never be nishtakach b'Yisrael. So there are two inyanim involved. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to get the luchais, and he's learning kol ha'Torah kula. How are the Yidden learning in those 40 days that he's gone? So, I don't have the sefer here, in Perek Shlishi, Sheir Hashem, Mashma for the Goyin, there was a shtickle of Ifyon. They were learning, Avada they're learning. But it wasn't a chizuk every day. They didn't bring like a mashgiach into every base medrash to see, take attendance every day, and if you're late, they take the mon away from you, you know, understand, or the shlov, or this. No, no, they came, they learned, but it wasn't a chizuk. Wasn't a chizuk. Here's the Sada Inyan. When you learn a chizuk, and you've quieted down your guf, and the neshama is a balabas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and watches over you, gives you atzloch and protects you from all evil. So if the Yetzer wants to come to such a mensch who's in chizuk, or the Satan Rachman son wants to come, they are evil, but they're not stupid. They see the Ruach Hashem is standing over this person, they walk away immediately. They've never started up with Hashem Yisborach in their whole history. They are not fools. So a person in Chizuk has Ezer Hashem Yisborach, he's protected. Nothing's going to happen. That is what Chizuk does. But if you're not b'chizuk, you can be the Gadol Hador and the Tzadik Hador. Tzius Yishom says the Yetzer is more powerful than the Yid, than the human being. And the only way that the human being survives is be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, and Ezer Hashem you don't have without Chizuk. So the Yidden are going now, 40 days of learning, but there's not Chizuk. Is the Eivishter there with them? He's not there. And the Sotan on the 39th day starts sharpening his knife. And I say, I go up to him, I say, what are you sharpening? Who are you going to go? Shecht, he says, the Yidden I'm going to shecht. I went, don't start up with Yidden. Less than 2 months ago, there was a Maimed Har Sinai. They heard me, Pi Hashem Anoichi. They heard, when Kailos broke him, and everything was vibrating. That Maimed, wait another few years, they'll forget it, then you'll attack them. Now, you know what the son says? My dear sir, I'm not impressed with that whole ceremony called Matan Torah. You know why? Because since then I don't see them in Chizuk. So I don't see the Almighty watching over them. So you know what? Take a look at this knife. I'm going to win today. It's Liach Maise Sotan Zakhtrashi. They made darkness. Yeah, you live here near Hollywood. All of these are optical illusions that they show. Darkness, and there is whispering, my shemesh. Then suddenly somebody points up to the shamayim. Ooh, the coffin of the dead body of Moshe Rabbeinu is going up with the malachim. So he died, yeah? It's all an illusion here. Rabbi Ruchim said it was beruach hatume anavuah. So what do you want from them? He said, they heard the neichiv elechah, Nevuah shel Kedusha, they should have known to differentiate. You held up shat. So anyway, we have to finish here. So we're going to remain without Moshe. The Eibusha can't talk to us directly. And the Shomas will come out. What's going to be? So the Erev Rav come along with their Avodah Zorah. And this and that, my Aaron HaKoyin tries to stop them. They use Kishuv and comes out in Egel. Now, you think you wouldn't have been tricked by the Egel? You're such great, my meaning. You know what the Egel did? It was a piece of metal, right? Gold. It danced. You hear? And there's nothing to wind it up there, yeah, except Kishuv. Yeah. And you know the Egel was talking? You know what it said? Anoichi Hashem. You believe it was an Isoyan or you think it wasn't? Yeah. So here's what happened to the Yidden. There were those, a few, who went to it wholeheartedly, and they were makriv karbonos to the Egel. There were those who, no, I'm not going to go that far. But what they did, they embraced the Egel, they hugged and kissed the Egel. Yeah. Neshika. And then there were those, even that they wouldn't have done. They just stood there, die. Come on, boys. So you join. No. It's enough for me. I clap my hands. Okay. They had the three madregas. All of them combined are a very small minority of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Shevet Levi were completely opposed to it, but a few thousand can't step up to Gantz Klal Yisroel. So they couldn't protest. It's an Eurechaimakos. Now what about the masses, though? A few million Yidden, they didn't clap their hands, they didn't kiss, they didn't hug, they didn't... So what's wrong with them? What's wrong? Say, loy michu. They didn't protest. So michu, why didn't they protest? So the Or HaChaim says something, and I said, he can't be Mechadish as Azachar. He said that they didn't protest. They don't know, but a little sofek went through their minds. Yidden dancing around, an eagle is out, like, you know. Put a bottle on his head, you know. So, who knows? And a little machshava. When you have that little machshava, you don't make protest demonstrations. You have to be completely opposed. So I looked and I found that Zohar says b'feyush. Arna Koyen, on the Chanukas, HaMishkon, on the first day, had to bring an egel lechatos, lechaper, and any connection he had. He was trying to prevent it. Abel Maisi had a connection. So he had to bring an egel lechatos. Or for B'nai Yisrael, he had to bring an egel le'oila. It's like the Zoya, why are egel le'oila? Egel lechatos mi bo'ila. Why is it oila? It's like the Zoya. All of those who participated in the egel are dead by now, either through Shevet Levi, through a Magefo, or they drank the Mayim which had the Eifer and Ewa. So they're all gone. Who's left? The majority of the Yidden. What was their chet? Even though they had no intention of being Oved Egel, no, of Me'ein Rotzen Ovra. Alibon, you hear a little daka stick, and people are dancing, and this egel is saying, yeah. And that's a little machshava of avodah zarah. Called oila comes to be mechaper on machsheves halev. So they had to bring in egel oila. Now, according to the Vilna Goyen, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do in those 40 days when he comes down with the Luchais? The Oisiyos of the Luchais saw the Egel of Amechailos, the Tumah. The Kedusha of these Oisiyos could not stand to be in such an environment of Tumah, and they left the Avonim and went up to the Shemayim. Many Maimor Chazal go this way. I once had in my hands Ksavyat Kotshoi of the Vilna Goyen saying the following. I found other Mephoshim say it before him. A human being, when he's alive, he can be even a heavyweight. Two people can carry him. You know why? Chai Naisei Satsmai, the Neshama, makes you lightweight. But a minute after Yitzias Neshama, a person becomes extremely heavy. It's called dead weight, they heavy. And to carry a mito or a coffin, you need a lot of pole bearers. And each one feels it's terribly heavy. Zok Dagoyen, Shtein Shteitin Medrash, Azei, one Medrash, a few of them. The moment the Oisius left the Luchais, the stones became too heavy for Moshe to carry. So he threw them down. Zok Dagoyen, what becomes too heavy a moment after? A guf becomes too heavy once the Neshama left him. Is Ha'Oisius Haim Nishmosan of the Luchais. Once the Oisius left, the Avonim were like a guf, unbearable. He could have put them down gently. He decided to break them. Zok Dagoyen Azei. We gathered up the Shvorim of the Luchais. And we put it into a special Oren. Some say even into the Oren Shel Betzalel. What's so special about them? The ICS it doesn't have. The Neshama. And the guf is broken to pieces. Why do you have it? Dr. Goyen, the Avonim, Aluchais Maisei Elokim Haima, if we have in our hands the Avonim, even pieces of it, we have the Eivish in our hands, like the Chosin with the Tabas Kedushin. He says this, right? La Yuchal Lehofer Brisa Itonu Le'olam Voi. Can't send us away. So even after the Chet Egel, we had one thing. We have the Eivish in our hands here, and he cannot get rid of us. Now, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do for the next 40 days? Zok Dagoyen Azei. Every day, he worked with a thousand yidden or so individually to take out of his mind that little softache he had by the ego. And it's a brainwashing, as you say, and putting into his heart full emunah again, another yid. Next morning, my Rabbeinu would go up and daven for about an hour. Davis should be Saleach. So Davis was Michael these yidden. My Rabbeinu comes down, and the rest of the day he's with yidden until he cleanses them of any hirur of Abay Zora, brings Amunah Shleima, and the next morning he davens for them, and the Eibush says, mask him. Erev Reish Chodesh Elul, he completed the task. So the Eibush says, now I'm willing to give new luchais to the Yidden, and these luchais, you're going to have to produce them, but I'm going to write in them, Michtav Elokim. And even the production of the luchais, go into your oihel, you're going to see a miracle, two huge sapphire stones that will appear. Okay. And what's going to happen now? My Shabbain is going to go up for 40 days, 40 nights. The Yidden are going to be left alone. And what's the Satan going to do? The Satan who already tasted our blood. And we were a nation before Chet Egel, and he was victorious. Now we are a broken nation, to pieces. And the Satan has already gotten used to doing something to us. So what's going to be here? So they were very fearful of it. So on Reish Chodesh Elul, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going up, L'kabel Luchos Shniyos, Heviru Shofar B'chol HaMachane, which means they sent Balei Tkiyos to all the corners of the Machne Yisrael, Leimayr, Moshe Olo, L'kabel Luchos Shniyos. Don't you dare let the Satan this time trick you into a chet or egel. Be prepared every minute. So it says like this: Hakadosh Baruch Hu nis'ale ba'isa yom ba'isa shayfo. What is nis'ale? Zogi Chazay, the work that Moshe Rabbeinu did with every single yid. When did it go deep in the heart? When they heard that Koil Shofar. And that set the Yidden into a Gvaldik Emunah. And what did they do for the next 40 days? You hear the Medrash? Hoyo Noyagim Yisroel B'chol Yom Tzayim V'Tanis. A voluntary fast. They get up in the morning and fast till the night. At night they ate something, got up in the morning, fasted the whole day after day. And it's not like us, a day of fasting, we look at the clock and keep shouting that the arms should go a little bit quicker. You know what a day of fasting was? Kula ruchnius. They were devoid of any gashmius. Hirhurei tshuva, tefillah, Torah. So, you know what the Yidden did? They went into the greatest chizuk in the history of the Jewish people. For 40 days, voluntarily, they were fasting day after day. Ruchnis, ruchnis, ruchnis. You ever heard of a chizuk like this? Came Yom Acharon Shebohem, says the man, Gozru Tainis Al Kol Atzivu, which means it was voluntary till now. Now, there were Gozru Tainis, and the Gzeira was for the 40th day, you begin at night. They never had a Tainis that began at night. Velonu b'tanisum, they went to sleep fasting. It was the 10th day of Tishrei. Baboker hishkimu, they got up early. And you know why they got up early? To be mechaper on the vayashkimu homi mochos. They got up early for the ego. Now they're getting up early for the anti-ego, to receive the luchais. And the Yidden gathered together, state in the Medrash Azeh, that they said, we're going to stand here and the Satan will attack us again. Well, let us melech likhas Moshe to be mekabel pono. Who? Guns klal Yisrael, millions of people. Let's all go together. And we're going to daven the whole way. Hoyu boichin likhas Moshe. You know what the Zohar says? What is the best tefillah in the world? If you cry in the davening. That opens up all the sha'arei rachamim. So ganz klal Yisrael were weeping away, Atileinu min ha'sotan, Atileinu min ha'sotan, and Moshe Rabbeinu, coming down with the luchos, heard them crying. And Moshe was a maven to differentiate between crying because you're spoiled, you're complaining, or crying al kedusha. And he realized millions of Yidden are crying because of kedusha. So you know what happened? Says Moshe started to cry. He was overcome by this. V'olso b'chiyosom shel Moshe v'shel Yisrael l'shamayim. And for the first time since Chet Ha'egel, when the Eibusha was Kulei Din, first time in 80 days, the Eibusha left the Kisei Hadin, went over to the Kisei Horachamim, and was mevaser every single yid beruach hakodesh solachti. Ve'inini kaveya yom zeh, the 10th of Tishrei, from now on, yom slicha mechila v'kapora l'dayreis. We created yom kippur. This is why this is the cheshevste holiday by yidden worldwide. In Israel, you have the extreme left-wing, irreligious, anti-religious. Kamat, everyone fasts on Yom Kippur. Don't ask them why, they don't know why. And an irreligious driver told me a day after Yom Kippur, I was telling him I needed a taxi in the middle of the night. My daughter was giving birth to her first child and couldn't get a taxi. It was a terrible matter. So he says to me like this, a religious guy. Sure, you couldn't get a taxi. Kippur, kulanu bebet knesset, kol hayom. We're the whole day. Rok meshuga. No, hey, come on, it's only a meshuga now will drive a taxi. You hear? This friend, I went to ask him what he did, my tzor, Yom Kippur, but he'd throw me out of the car. So, but Yom Kippur, you see why? We created Yom Kippur. And we got the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. We got a Mishkan. And we got the luchais shniyais, and Moshe Rabbeinu came down with those luchais. And I ask one question: where was the satan that day? Where is he? He has all the tricks in the world. The Torah says, were the yidden in a matzav of chizuk? The greatest chizuk in their history, was the Eibusha there guarding over them? Certainly. And the satan came. Saw the Rabbi Yisrael just put on different glasses to make sure he sees what he sees. And you know what he did? He retired for the day. There's not one medrash that mentions the Satan on that day. You know, I've been looking till today. Satan Heichan Hoya, there's no mention of him. Because the Eibush is there, he's out. And we gave him such a defeat on that day that every year on 10th Tishrei, he can't do anything with us. He wants to be Makatrik, and he says good things about us. And on the first 40, where we were a nation without a Chet Ha'egel, we had just heard a Noichi, yeah, but we weren't not in Chizuk, the Satan defeated us. And we defeated him when we were a broken nation with Chizuk. Every year, at this time, the hisoyrus of that tremendous chizuk comes down in a shefa here on Klal Yisrael. Anyone who wants to derive a benefit from that shefa has to go into a tremendous chizuk day after day. What I saw then in the yeshiva, and subsequently one Lakewood that I was in yeshiva in Lakewood, that year was a moira de kechizuk. the Bochum were mechadish more Torah in Elul than the whole year around, because you have Sayata Dishmaya. It's like a different world, these 40 days. And this is the basis of Chodesh Elul. If you will take upon yourself certain gedorim and certain chizukim, not tremendous things which aren't in your present power, you're going to have sayata d'shmaya, and you're going to have a memory of this Elul and Seles Mei Tshuva for 10, 20, and 30 years. You're going to remember that that was the great Elul that I had in my younger years. Hashem Yisborach Berachmov Hatzumim Yitahes Libchem La'ovdoi Be'emes. Be mema'et Dvorim B'teilim. Make certain gedorim b'linada. During the day you don't talk any Dvorim B'teilim. You can say day and night. It's too hard to begin with a thing like this. I say by the davening, when you come to daven in the morning, in Elul you're never late, even 1 minute. You're makdim 5 or 10 minutes to a davening. And when you come, you put on your tefillin, you open up a siddur, you put your watch next to the siddur. The first 10 minutes on the watch, you don't look out of the siddur, no matter who passes by and what fell down and what banged and what noise and what vibration, nothing. You're intimate. That's called chizuk ruchni. You know what you're doing? You're shutting down the guf. Guf, you want to look here, you want to look here, you want to look there. That's what people do the whole davening. This one passes by and that one passes by. And we say, a little boy going down the aisle to join his father. Oh, in the middle of saying David HaMelech's words, Baruch HaKadosh, you have to look at a little boy. Why? You never saw one before in your life. Make a bracha, Mishana Abriyas. And then continue. Yeah. And what are you looking at that person going to his seat 2 minutes late? You never saw a person come late? Look in the mirror and you'll see it. Well, what's this looking around the whole time? In the mirror? This is what I was impressed upon in the mirror. I daven in the back rows there, so I would see the whole yeshiva. You know what I saw? Statues, Pashut. You never saw them learning, looking to a side, this way or that way. I'm telling you what I saw. You know? That's tefillah. So you'll say, only 10 minutes? Yeah. 10 minutes, try it for a whole year. Not 11, 10. Listen to me. But I'm not telling you in the 11th minute to look around, but the gedder is for 10 minutes. And I'm finishing off with something, but let me get out of the door before you throw something. Yeah, I have my bulletproof vest, don't worry. When you sit down to eat, so I'm not telling you not to eat. I would love if you didn't gnash in the middle of the day any chocolates or candies or anything like that. You cut it out in Elul. And don't worry, we have Hatzolah. They'll take care of it. Nothing terrible will happen here. And you'll get right into the emergency because we'll give them the chocolates. And so listen here. The main meal, main course of the meal, which is usually the meat and what comes on the plate with it, you can lechatchila take as much as you want. Fill it up. You're eating, it was delicious, and you finished till the last bite, right? And your mother says, a little bit more of my homemade cooking, kivadayim. You say, no, my mommy, no, I can't. Tomorrow. You know, your leftovers are better than someone else's freshly cooked food. So I'll eat your leftovers tomorrow. Your wife, well, you're not married yet, but your wife, Shalom Bai, you know, my husband, well, you know, I work so much on it. Tomorrow. Or if you're taking by yourself, self-service. You know what that means? The Chafetz Chaim is serving you. I mean the Yetzer Hara is serving you. Take as much as you want. But no more. The word doubles, you erase it. Triples, mandachar shmei. You say, is that so difficult? It's extremely difficult. I once got an email from my intestines. It didn't even call me rabbi. Just said, you. You know what it said to me? You can stand Shemayna Esrei 2.5 hours, and you put on 100 talis cottons and 64 pairs of tefillin. You can imagine an esrog of every min in the world. You hear? But when it comes to eating, shut up. I'm the boss. Don't tell me how much to eat, when to eat, where to eat, and where to eat. And nothing of the sort. You don't say a word. And you know what? You want to get control of the goof? Do it my way. Just no doubles. No doubles. And on Shabbos also not. American Bach and I saw ran after me in the street and said, brother, what about Shabbos? For Karos or the Shabbos owners, I'm going to come to the next world. They'll say, Michal, you were supposed to eat as much as you want, and you stopped in the middle. You listen to him and not to us. So he says to me, Rabbi Brevda, you'll come to speak on my behalf. So I said to him, if a Magushim Dika like you will reach the next world, and a Magushim Dika like me, I'll stand up for you. So he said to me, give it to me in writing. I said, nothing doing. Now, you know, you Magushim Dika, you're going to sell my handwriting right away in an auction. You won't even give me a percentage. No writing. You hear that? So, my life, Rabbi Sai, no doubles in Elul and in Seretz Mei Tshuva. And if you do it, you should know that on Rosh Hashanah, the Eibush is going to look different at you. And you're going to have the biggest hatzlocha in learning in the coming year. L'shona toivo, tikosevu, v'seichosemu, l'chaim toivim, u'l'sholem. I have 3 copies of my Sefer Yemei Rotzen. I have more, but I didn't see where they are now in the house. It deals with Elul, and it deals also, it gives the Yisod of Malchias, Zechayinus, and Shofreis. You'll understand what you're davening on Rosh Hashanah, and talks about Shofar Shel Ayil, and a few other of the Inyonim of Rosh Hashanah, Yomim Nairoim. If anyone wants a Sefer, normally the price is $15. Here it'll be $12 in the yeshiva. But I have to go, and I'm asking you mechila now, even before Erev Yom Kippur, for the time that I took up. I hope it wasn't Beetle Taylor. See, I was supposed to give a few shiurim today, and since there's no one here now in L.A., they all became bottled, so you have to suffer.